Now, before we get down to prayer, let's turn once again to this short one-chapter letter of Paul's letter to Philemon. We've spent two Saturday evenings already in our 35 or 40 minute Bible study in this epistle, and we've learned quite a lot already. And when you approach this letter of Philemon, remember we read it right through on our first study, and I assume that you've had a look at it at other times as I have had, and we were aware of the fact that Paul is writing this letter not so much as a Christian teacher, but as a Christian pastor. And he's writing as a pastor to apply spiritual principles, that is, biblical and gospel principles, to the actions and attitudes of people, particularly this fairly wealthy man, Philemon, who, it would appear, had a fairly large household and owned quite a number of slaves, and one of his slaves apparently stole money and scampered. And you can imagine that Philemon had been rather cross about this. The story, remember, is that the runaway slave Onesimus somehow or other ended up in Rome, somehow or other came in contact with Paul. How, we don't know, we don't need to know. Somehow or other, he heard the gospel, and somehow or other, it fell to Paul to lead this man to faith in Jesus Christ, and there grew a very wonderful personal bond of Christian fellowship between Paul and the runaway slave who had been converted. Paul, of course, is very clear that the runaway slave has to go back. And Paul's concern is that both Philemon, the master, and Onesimus, the converted runaway slave, should both act in a fully Christian way. The runaway slave must go back. Face the music, if you like. The master must receive the runaway slave and receive him back as a Christian. Now, Onesimus, the converted slave, has been taught by Paul that he is required to forfeit his newfound liberty and dignity and value. He had come to Christ. And as you and I have discovered since we came to Christ, he's given us a new liberty, a new personality, a new standing, a new dignity, a new everything. Now, no doubt this runaway slave, while he was in Rome and in company with Paul and the Christians, would have listened to Paul preaching and teaching quite a lot. And I would like you to turn back, for example, to Galatians chapter 5, which kind of teaching Onesimus would certainly, I think, have heard. Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And Onesimus, though he wouldn't know the phrase, liberation theology. That's the great rage, for example, in South America and in a variety of other places. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And you can imagine Onesimus sitting in the country, I'm not going back. A good biblical warrant for it. And Paul had to say, no, you haven't. Look down to Galatians chapter 5 at verse 13. This is later on in the sermon, you see. And in these long ago days, as now, if people hear something at the beginning of the sermon that they like, oh, that's great, and they tend sometimes not to listen to the rest of the sermon. So while Onesimus was rejoicing in verse 1 of chapter 5, it may have been at the end of verse 12, Paul might have said, as ministers are apt to say something, now I hope you're still listening. You were called to freedom, brethren. Only, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, be servants one of another. Use your liberty to become slaves. And Onesimus says, oh, maybe I have to go back. So turn over now, for example, to 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 16. And if Peter was saying this kind of thing by the Spirit of God, there's good ground for believing that Paul was saying the same kind of thing by the same Spirit of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. Live as free men. Oh, the liberating power of the gospel. Live as free men. Yet without using your freedom as a pretext for evil. And Onesimus would think, by the law, I belong to Philemon. I have never been granted formally my freedom from the ownership of Philemon. I will have to go back. Live as servants of God. Verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. Not only to the kind and gentle, who seem to be making a very good job of their responsible positions, but be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to the kind and gentle, but also to the overbearing with regard to whom you feel they really don't know their job. For one is approved if, mindful of God, he endures pain while suffering unjustly. And the runaway slave, back to our letter to Philemon, the runaway slave had to recognize that in Christ Jesus, he had been made a new creature to serve in a new way in his old situation. Remember the story of the wild man of Gadara. What a transformation Jesus worked in that man's life. And he was so grateful. And when Jesus and the disciples were ready to leave, this changed man said, look, Lord, there's nothing I would like more than to join your team. I'll be an evangelist with you wherever you go. And Jesus said, no, you go back to where you belong, to the people that you've been driving round the bend with your wildness and your badness and your wickedness. You go back to them and live among them. And when they begin to say, you're changed, you say to them, it was Jesus Christ who did it. So Onesimus had to go back. But Paul is writing to Philemon, whose slave Onesimus was, not suggesting, but requiring Philemon to receive the wrongdoer just as Christ had done, allowing the past to be past and for a new relationship to be established. Let's read quickly through from verse 4. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may promote the knowledge of all the good that is ours in Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, because I love you, Philemon, and I know that you love me, and we both love the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul in person, an ambassador, some translations have it, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, having lost my liberty just as I've lost everything else, having lost far more than just one runaway slave. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father, that is, whose spiritual father, I have become in my imprisonment. I wonder if when Philemon read that, if he said, goodness me, the rascal's been converted. Formerly, he was useless to you because he ran away. You didn't have him anymore. But now he is indeed useful to you and to me. He's useful to me, but I am sending him back to you because he's your slave. I am sending him back to you, sending my very... Oh, as we were saying the other, was it last week, poor Philemon. He must have been getting very embarrassed by this time. Paul's really saying, you know, Philemon, it's really costing me a lot to send this fellow back to you. You know, as he comes to me in my prison day after day, you have no idea what he means to me, how he helps me, how he encourages me. And you can imagine Paul really saying, you know, Philemon, I've had a real struggle. I know the principle, the slave belongs to you. I know the principle, I should send him back. But you know, I really need him. But I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me, in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. It is as if Paul is saying, Philemon, if you had been here, you would have said, Paul, is there anything I can do for you? Anything at all, whatever, I'll do it. Oh, I'll do it gladly. Philemon, if you were here, you would have done it. But you can't be here. But in a sense, you've been here by proxy. Your slave. Don't call him now a runaway slave. Call him a Christian slave. You would have done it. But Onesimus, being your man, has served me in your name. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent. I wonder if Philemon thought, oh, Paul, you didn't need to ask my permission. Without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. You know, when we come to this part of the little letter, beginning in verse 12, what Paul is really doing is he is reminding Philemon of how much he owes to Paul. Paul doesn't quite spell it out in so many words, although he nearly does. You know, Philemon, if I hadn't come to where you stay in some of my costly journeys, and if I hadn't been willing to suffer for Jesus' sake and preach the gospel to you and pray for you, you would never have been converted. Neither would your wife, neither would your son, and your son wouldn't have been in the ministry. Philemon, you really owe an awful lot to me. I want to look at two references here. I want you to look at them as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, at verse 11. Remember the Corinthians, well, they assumed that they were very spiritual. They also tended to be rather critical of Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. The situation is that the Corinthians were very reluctant to send any money to support Paul and his missionary journeys. You see, they weren't just quite sure if Paul was sound. But he says here, if we have sown spiritual good among you, is it too much if we reap your material benefits? If we have given you so much in spiritual currency, is it not right and reasonable that we should expect the other kind of material currency from you? This is all to do with the maintenance of the ministry of the gospel, whether at home or abroad. Turn back to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15, and verse 26. And too many people, when they refer to Romans, refer only to the great theology of salvation in Romans chapters 1 to 8. But along with the tremendous theology, there is the practical teaching. Romans chapter 15, at verse 26. Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. And indeed they are in debt to them. They are under obligation to do it. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. So back to Philemon. In these two verses 13 and 14, I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. And that's the least you could do for me, Philemon. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. Is it in Matthew chapter 10, I forget which verse, is it verse 8, that Jesus said to his disciples, freely you have received, freely give. Not just in material terms, although that is by no means excluded, but in terms of friendship and love and care and patience and all the other things that many, many people really need. What were we studying last Sunday morning in Philippians? Remember, if you have found in Christ consolation and encouragement and love and this and that and the other, fulfill my joy. You be like that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Freely you have received, freely give. Let's read on. Verse 15. Perhaps, says Paul, this is why I've been tremendously impressed by the careful wording of Paul's letter. You're aware when you read it over a number of times that Paul knew perfectly he could have stated theological principles, he could have stated spiritual responsibility, he could have laid it along the line that this is what Philemon ought to do if he claimed to be a Christian. But then you get, perhaps, he's just coaxing Philemon to think for himself. Now, that's the essence of pastoral counseling. Pastoral counseling very seldom provides the answers. Pastoral counseling should help people to think and to think through things for themselves and so be led to the answer. And so Paul says, perhaps, I suppose he's saying, Philemon, have you thought about it this way? Perhaps this is why Onesimus was parted from you for a while. Have you thought, Philemon, have you considered that there might have been a significant spiritual reason why your servant ran away? Perhaps this is why he was parted from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave. Notice it doesn't say no longer a slave. Paul is not contradicting the principle of slavery. He's not attacking it. That little word as is important. No longer to be regarded as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And what Paul is doing here, you see, is he's putting the whole situation into the context of the providence of God. But he's not writing as if he was saying the final word. He was saying, perhaps, Philemon, perhaps you must see things in this light, and perhaps you have to learn from God in this. Now, there's no doubt at all that Paul recognized that a slave running away was a deliberate wrong. There is no suggestion in the story at all that the slave was ever badly treated in the household of Philemon. No suggestion of that at all. There is indication in the story, when we come to verse 18, that the runaway slave appears to have stolen something on the way away. And Philemon, when his slave ran away, must have regarded this whole situation as negative. But God, says Paul, was working for good. God was in this. Now, there is a danger here, and I'm sure Paul was aware of it, that talking like this could have encouraged other Christian slaves to run away, which would have created tremendous social upheaval and disorder in society at that time, and would have proved a tremendous hindrance to the gospel. There would have been colossal prejudice. And therefore, I think we've got to keep in mind, remember we said that Paul's letter to the Colossians was written at the same time as the letter to Philemon and carried by the same messenger. So turn back to Colossians, chapter 3 at verse 22. Slaves, and since this was a letter written to the church, these would be to slaves who are in the congregation, that is, Christian slaves. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever your task, work heartily as serving the Lord and not men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And that, you know, is a verse and a principle that we need to remember in our own restless, disturbed society in this day and generation. A society on every level that is full of injustice and wrong and prejudice and imbalance and this and that and the other. But the Word of God says, Christians, you are not working for the head of your department or for anybody higher up or for the managing director or the chairman of the board. You are working for Jesus. And the quality of your work, the willingness with which you do it, and the attitude in which you do it must be worthy of the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is your master. So back to Philemon. End of verse 15. That you might have him back forever, no longer to be regarded as a slave, but still in your employment, still belonging to you, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Receive him back as a Christian brother, and therefore a better worker. But it's not always the case. Do you remember what Jesus said on one occasion to his disciples? No longer am I going to call you servants, but friends. And that's really what Paul is asking Philemon to do with Onesimus, the runaway slave. Receive him as a brother and as a friend in Jesus Christ, and deal with him in a relationship of trust. But in true Christian relationships, there will be no wrong familiarity. And just as sometimes there are Christian bosses who take advantage of Christian workers in a way that they wouldn't take advantage of unconverted folk, because they know the unconverted folk would react, so at times there are Christian workers who take advantage if their boss is a Christian, presuming upon relationship. And that is never right. But in Christian relationships, on all sorts of levels, including the workplace level, there will be and there must be, if our Christianity is genuine, on both sides there will be the kind of attitudes that give dignity and value. And Paul is saying, now Philemon, as a man of God, you treat Onesimus as a man of God. And Onesimus, you treat Philemon as a man of God. And on that level, start again in the situation where you belonged and where you still belong. And let your witness to Christ be Christ-like. Verse 17. So says Paul to Philemon, so if you consider me your partner. Oh, well, Paul, we're brothers in Christ. We've worked together in the gospel, and any other time you're in this part of the world, we'll work together as brothers, partners, again. All right, says Paul, if you consider me your partner, receive Onesimus when he arrives. Receive him as you would receive me. When you see Onesimus coming in the garden gate and up toward the front door, don't look out to the kitchen, out of the window, and say to your wife and your son, "Now let's just keep calm. Let's play it cool. You know, let's be." If he looked out of the window and he saw Paul coming in at the garden gate, what would he do? He wouldn't say, "Oh, now let's play." No, he'd be out the front door. Down, "Oh, Paul, I'm pleased to see you." All right, says Paul. Out the front door and down the garden gate to meet Onesimus. That's what he's saying here. If you consider me your partner in Christ and in the gospel and in the service of the gospel, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. And if he has wronged you at all, I'm sure Philemon felt he had been wronged. I mean, you're slaves. You don't let your slaves run away without feeling a bit aggrieved. If he has wronged you at all, don't forget that God's been working in this situation to bring Onesimus to salvation. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, seems that Paul's not just quite sure if the slave had stolen things or not. But you see, he doesn't need to be exactly specific. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I'll be responsible. I'll foot the bill. If it's referring to things that were stolen, Paul says, right, I'll pay. It could be, depending on what the situation, the business situation of Philemon was, it could be that Philemon said, "Well, you know, at this time of year," and he ran away, and I had to go to the slave market and hire temporary labor, and that's more expensive than ordinary. All right, says Paul, keep an account of all the weeks you had to pay, and I'll pay the bill. I think when Paul was writing that, I think there might have been something going through his mind, and perhaps more important, going through the heart, his heart. Something expressed in the line of a hymn that, of course, Paul wouldn't have known anything about. The hymn that speaks about Jesus Christ, who paid the debt and set me free. It's quite a thought, isn't it? In that verse 18, you know, there is an indication of the need for restitution. Yes, even within forgiveness, there is a place for restitution. On a variety of different levels, not just on a financial level. There are times, you see, that we have stolen from one another the caring friendship that should have been expressed. And it's not enough, you see, to go to God and say, you know, God, I'm sorry that I denied my needy brother and sister the care and the concern and the friendship that they both needed and deserved. Yes, God forgives. But God says, well, you know, you can make up. All that is in the 18th verse, and here we're closing. If he has wronged you at all or owes anything to you, charge that to my account. I've written on my bit of paper here. Would Philemon have accepted the money from Paul? Oh, you say, no. No, neither would I. I think we've got to close here by thinking in this verse. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I can imagine Philemon saying, Paul, I could never repay my debt to you. Never, never, never. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. We'll look at these verses in our final study sometime. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me, even yourself. Yes, my brother. In the light of all that I've done for you, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. I think it's best to leave it there. Let's sing our hymn before we go to prayer.